All right, let's call the Joint Ways and Means Committee to order for August 11th. Got a pretty full agenda and very little time.
Mr. Chairman, I'm glad you straightened that up because I thought you meant call the joint together.
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
I'm from Canby.
Lots of that stuff going on in Canby.
No, sir. Budget bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 5013, Economic and Community Development Department. Senator Carter.
She doesn't have her pony yet.
Holy Bill, here it comes.
Look at that. Off to the races.
Late breaking news.
House Bill 5013 is the budget bill for the Economic and Community Development Department. The agency administers programs that aid businesses and communities. It includes the Arts Commission, the Film and Video Office, and the Tourism Commission. The agency is supported by a variety of funds. The Arts Commission receives general fund. Lottery funds support economic and community development programs, the Film and Video Office, and the Tourism Commission. Federal funds support a variety of programs, including the Community Development Block Grant. Other funds include revolving loan fund repayments and interest earnings on these funds. Non-limited other funds include bond proceeds. Subcommittee directed the agency to focus its efforts on the primary goal of assisting businesses to create new jobs and retain existing jobs. A budget note, Steve, requires a report to the emergency board on the use of the strategic reserve fund, including planned and actual outcomes. An agreement with the counties ensure that $1.69 million from the strategic reserve fund will be dedicated to jobs with the counties to job creation and retention in rural and distressed communities. A further agreement funds the governor's economic revitalization team with $610,000 in lottery funds that would otherwise have been distributed to regions, and with $360,000 from interest earnings on the special public works revolving loan fund that would otherwise have been used for related grants. These funds are reducing the agency's budget and will be reflected in the budget for the governor's office. The agency was directed to select performance data elements that reflect the refocus of its efforts and to seek review and approval from the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. Subcommittee approved a total budget of $350 million and 122.4 FTE. The budget is reduced to $32.3 million, all funds, 8.4%, and 8 positions from the governor's budget, including elimination of vacant positions. Reductions include assessments, inflation, and pay adjustments, and incorporate an agency plan to reduce its operating costs and refocus its efforts on job creation and retention. With these reductions, the agency staffing level is 19 positions below the legislatively approved budget, including all special session adjustments. The Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 5013 be amended and reported out to do pass as amended. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Yes, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Question to Carrier. Is the Oregon Council for Knowledge and Economic Development, was it any portion of this OCED?
We did not discuss that, Representative Butler, to my knowledge.
It's higher ed.
Well, that's in the higher ed. I know that economic development assisted with some of the facilitating last session. I didn't know where that budget was. So if that will come through in higher ed, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Gordley.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm going to be objecting. We just got these reports. I haven't had an opportunity to read it in the way that I would like to. And I'm going to keep objecting about our process as I did in our Ways and Means Education Subcommittee last week. I think we're placing unreasonable demands on staff and asking them to rush the work in the way in which they just got through rushing the work. And this is not a criticism of our staff at all. I think we have outstanding people who do an excellent job. I think that we keep putting unreasonable demands on them. I think that is unacceptable. It's unacceptable to me. And I also think it's unhealthy for them and it's unhealthy for the process. So I understand that this has become our practice to rush things through. But I'm not going to endorse that, and so I'm objecting. Thank you.
If I just make a comment for the record that this budget, a lot of the budgets we are dealing with have been before us before. They have had fits and starts in terms of getting out of subcommittees. We had this budget, for instance, ready on Friday, so members of the subcommittee were up to speed. But your point is well taken. The members of the full committee may not. And that is a problem. It's kind of a hazard of our process at this very late stage of the session. But the public has had the opportunity to play in pretty intensively, and the committee has gone over this. And I apologize for the the quickness that it has appeared here before full committee. And if there's a way we can do something different, I will try and see if we can do it.
Well, Mr. Chair, there is a way that we can do something different, and that would be to slow ourselves down enough to allow ourselves enough time to review and digest that which is before us. This is supposed to be a deliberative process. I'm not trying to be difficult here. I'm just pointing out that the emperor has no clothes. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Any further discussion?
No.
She's
not.
Excuse me.
That's
right.
Okay.
Senator Duke.
Mr.
Yes.
Chair, and this is not of the carrier because we didn't touch this recently. This must be old stuff, and now I don't remember the old stuff, even though I served on the committee. But there's a budget note for a summary of revenue changes in here that talks about the $3.6 million in lottery fund that's from the channel deepening account that's still there. And I just want to know, do I read this correctly, that this money will no longer be, I mean, it was sort of the bonds plus this $3.6 million came up to enough for channel deepening. Is it now just all in bonds, and the $3.6 million is not going to be left in its separate account, that being lottery
money? Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, you are correct.
Okay,
so the lottery bond bill will reflect a higher level of bonding, and the actual cash on hand is being used to fund the department.
Thank you.
And Senator Dukes was the one that helped. Let's be creative that way.
But at least 2 months ago, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry. The memory fades.
Any other discussion? Objections? We've got Senator Gordley. Was there another objection? That was it. At the record show, we have one objection. House Bill 5013 will pass out the House. Do pass. House Bill 5014, Department of Education. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5014 is the budget bill for the Department of Education, Central Operations, Special Schools for the Deaf and Blind, Youth Corrections Education Program, Grant and Aid Support to Local Programs, and Debt Service on Education Lottery Bonds. The department is the lead implementation agency for the state constitutional mandate to provide by law for the establishment of a uniform and general system of common schools. The Education Subcommittee approved a total budget of $1.2 billion and 447.32 FTE. The budget is a 7.9% increase over the governor's budget and 11.8% increase over the 0103 legislatively approved level due to federal funds growth. The approved general fund budget is a $16.9 million or 6.5% decrease from the governor's budget. Of the general fund decrease, $7.8 million was established as a special purpose appropriation for mandated caseload growth in early childhood programs and for agency operations pending reports from the department to the emergency board as directed by budget notes. The remaining general fund reduction reflects the standard statewide adjustments, elimination of vacant positions, and various program reductions to meet co-chair targets. The latter category includes a number of adjustments to grant and aid programs. Funding of $1 million for the Start Making a Reader Today or SMART program was eliminated. The Oregon Public Education Network was reduced by $1.2 million, and Oregon pre-kindergarten funding was reduced by $1 million. The subcommittee discussed the reduction to the Oregon pre-kindergarten program, noting that this is a priority for ADVAC as the final statewide budget agreement is reached. An addition of $700,000 was made for the Frontier Learning Network, which had been eliminated in the governor's budget. The subcommittee directed the agency to report back to the next legislative assembly on a number of topics as outlined in one of the approved budget notes. The subcommittee noted the possible additional workload, but also noted that the budget note directs the agency to respond within resource constraints. The subcommittee approved the performance measures for the agency with instructions, including direction to the agency to work on any additional measures that may be needed as a result of the agency's reorganization. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5014 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Questions? Yes, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Having not served on this committee, nor having had a chance to read this summary in great depth, Did the committee discuss, and I believe that it's in this budget, did the committee discuss the program area in the grant and aid area where the leadership programs reside, FBLA and those allied programs, and was that funded?
That was funded, and that was an item that was up for discussion in the committee.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Just one question, Mr. Chair. And I, too, was not a member of this committee, but I noticed that there was the elimination of the SMART program, which was a reading initiative. What was the discussion around eliminating a program that was targeted to improving reading?
This was an enhancement that was in the governor's budget, and it was felt that with the general fund constraints that we were under at this time, that starting a new program of support wasn't the wisest course at this time. I think it's not a reflection on a very good and worthwhile program. It was just a statement of priorities in starting a new path on state support.
Further questions?
I do have another question. Was there specific communities that were targeted with this new program?
Perhaps staff could come forward and outline what the discussion was on this area.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I can't really answer the question. There wasn't a lot of discussion as to the specifics for what this funding would provide because it was part of the co-chair's budget that it would not be funded. So we didn't get into the details during the subcommittee discussion.
Thank you.
Further questions? Yes, Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The reduction of $6.5 million general fund for the 0405 KSL growth in early intervention, early childhood, is that, how confident are you that the caseload will be down enough to save us that amount of money?
Again, I would defer to staff on this, but this is the same budget note that was in this budget in the previous biennium, and it just is a means to adjust for caseloads moving around. But if staff has information to add, that would be helpful.
So I'm assuming we've taken $6.5 million out of what we're automatically giving them, so if caseloads go higher, they have come to the emergency board?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dukes, this is similar to what we did last session with this program, and that is because it's difficult to project the caseload over a two-year period. We took some of the money and put it in the emergency board or appropriated it to the emergency board as a special purpose appropriation pending the department coming back with updated caseload information. So it is there as a special purpose appropriation.
All $6.5 million?
That's correct.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Senator Gordley.
Not a question. Just want to register a concern, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. We did have an extensive discussion, as Chair Morgan has indicated, about the Oregon pre-kindergarten reduction, which is a $1 million reduction. And I just want to say here in the form of an objection that I am still grieving the loss of this $1 million to the Oregon pre-kindergarten program. And I do hope that we keep a commitment in putting it on an add-back list, and not just putting it on a list, but finding the funding elsewhere in our budget. And I would want to share with the full committee what has been shared in our subcommittee. The legislature in the 80s made a commitment to an Oregon pre-kindergarten program, which was to serve Oregon's poorest of the poor children. That's the commitment that we made in the 80s. In the 90s, we made another commitment. We legislatively approved a set of Oregon benchmarks, one of which said that we would fully fund an Oregon pre-kindergarten program, or fully fund all of the eligibles, by the year 2004. We're not going to make it. Through the co-chair's budget, and I believe also the governor's budget, the Oregon pre-K program would be funded at a level of roughly 60% roughly, and the co-chair Schrader can correct me if I have the percentage wrong. But my concern is that we made a commitment to these children in the 80s, 20 years ago, and we have failed as successive legislators to keep a commitment to Oregon's poorest of the poor children. And again, that's my concern. And I, again, I hope that we find our way to find the dollars to salvage this cut, this reduction. I believe that those dollars exist elsewhere in the budget. And again, I hope that we make our commitment again to Oregon's poorest of the poor children. Thank you.
Very good comment. I concur. Other discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, House Bill 5014, Department of Education, will be reported out to the House. Be passed. Senate Bill 5509, Department of Corrections. Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5509 is the budget bill for the Department of Corrections. The department is responsible for incarcerating adult and some juvenile offenders sentenced to prison by the courts. Funding for the community correction program is also included in this budget. The recommended budget for the department is $984.4 million total funds, a 1.5 reduction from the governor's balanced budget. The general fund budget is $834.3 million, a 12.7 million, or 12.7% reduction from the governor's budget. Most of this decrease is a result of using $116 million of one-time federal funds to offset the need for general funds. This one-time funding will not be available in the 05-07 budget period, so general fund will need to be added back to keep pace with the growth in the prison population. The subcommittee made a number of changes to the governor's budget, including the addition of $30.6 million for increased grants to counties and community corrections. The budget was also increased by $6.6 million to reflect the April 2003 prison and community corrections caseload forecast. Correctional programs, including education-related programs, were reduced by $5.2 million as a result of the overall public safety agreement. The subcommittee reviewed positions and vacancies, which resulted in a decision to eliminate over 130 positions. These included administrative program and management staff across the agency. In addition, over $11 million general fund was cut from the budget, assuming aggressive management of overtime and vacancies. This budget assumes continuation of the construction of the new minimum security facility in Lakeview to keep pace with the anticipated forecasted growth in the prison population. Even with this increase in capacity, the department will continue to rely on temporary and emergency beds for a number of years to come. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 5509 be reported out, do pass, as amended.
Thank you very much, Representative. Any questions? Objections?
Objection.
Objection. Senator Corley noted as an objection. Seeing no others, we'll pass Senate Bill 5509, Department of Corrections, out to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Senate Bill 5523, Judicial Department, Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm happy to bring you Senate Bill 5523, which is the budget bill for the Oregon Judicial Department. The Judicial Department consists of the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, the Tax Court, the Office of the State Court Administrator, and the Circuit Courts that are located in each of our counties. The Department is also responsible for providing interpreter and jury services. The budget is an increase of 14.5%, including 232.36 FTE above the governor's budget, predominantly as a result of the restoration of the 01-03 special session reductions. The budget includes a reduction in inflation, assessment rates and compensation, and $4.95 million in services and supplies and unspecified savings. It also includes the elimination of 5.86 vacant positions. The budget has an increase of $2.1 million federal and other funds and 7.2 FTE from a variety of grants, including family and drug court services. Total budget of $291.3 million and 1,836.83 FTE reflects these adjustments, and as well as the transfer of Indigent Defense Services to the Public Defense Services Commission. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 5523 be amended and reported out to pass as amended.
Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Carter.
I'm still having some problem with what I call the stepchild, and I think we've done as a body a very kind of bad job in terms of funding
judicial department, and to me, we have basically singled it out even during the five special sessions. And for that reason, I will be voting no on this budget. Not because of the department itself, because of us.
Thank you. Other discussion? I guess I would just like to point out the judicial department's done awful darn well as a result of our deliberations compared to governor's office, legislative branch, and other branches of state government. They have actually gotten some significant increases. Compared to the LAB, they're up 8%. Most of the other budgets are down 7%. Compared to legislatively approved, they're up 14%. I mean, I just respectfully have a different point of view. I think they've done very, very well. They got more money than they did at the end of last session. They came very close to meeting what the Chief Justice would call his ideal budget, and I appreciate the fact we couldn't quite get all the way there, but I think they've done very well. I think it's a recognition of this body and the subcommittee and others that, you know, the courts are an important part of our criminal justice system. And at times I've been somewhat antipathetic attitude towards things, but I do see they're an important important body to make our system run, and pleased to come up with a very nice budget for them this session.
With all due respect to you, sir, I do understand what you're saying in terms of now, but and maybe my vote is a little late, but all the damage that we did in the special five sessions, and yes, they have recouped some of where they were from at that particular time. So my objection isn't necessarily by what this assembly did, but what we've done over the five sessions.
That's fair. Very fair. Thank you, Senator. Senator Devlin.
So we can thank Mr. Chairman. The other Representative Passage covered this in his presentation. The other thing to note that's significant in this budget is that indigent defense is now moved outside the judiciary, so that makes it substantial. When you're trying to compare budgets, you have to take that into consideration.
Other discussion? Seeing none, is there objection? Senator Gordley, noted as objection. Senator Carter? Seeing no others, then we'll pass out Senate Bill 5523, Judicial Department, to the Senate. Do pass. Senate Bill 5553, Criminal Justice Commission, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5553 is the budget bill for the Criminal Justice Commission. The commission administers county juvenile prevention grant programs and coordinates criminal justice-related policies for the state, including sentencing guidelines. The 03-05 budget for the commission is $11.8 million total funds, a 37% reduction from the governor's budget. The majority of this budget represents the juvenile crime prevention grants to counties. The subcommittee action reduced the fundings for these grants by $7.4 million from the already reduced level in the governor's budget. As a result, the amount for these grants represents just over 30% of the amount approved by the 01 legislature. The subcommittee reduced the budget for inflation, employee compensation, attorney general charges, gas assessments by $230,000. A portion of the inflation reduction was reinvested back into the juvenile crime prevention grants. The subcommittee also made adjustments to the funding for three positions to ensure the proper funding mix, and so sufficient resources are in the budget to fund these positions. Public Safety Committee recommends Senate Bill 5553 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended. I think besides the pony, I don't think anybody on the committee felt good about the reductions in the crime prevention grants, but this is part of the overall funding strategy for public safety, and brings us to the new level of $85 million put back into public safety. This certainly isn't a great way to deal with this program, but it does keep it alive, and it keeps minimal resources going in to the prevention grant.
Good comments. Further discussion? Objection? Senator Gordley? Seeing no others, we'll pass Senate Bill 5553, Criminal Justice Commission, to the Senate. Do pass. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 139A, relating to elections. Senate Bill 139 makes changes to the size and cost of placing candidate and ballot measure information in the Senate statewide voter's pamphlet published by the Secretary of State for primary and general elections. It also requires that a district map must be included if candidate information for that district is filed. The fees would also apply to information included in a pamphlet for a special election. The pamphlet is funded largely by general funds since the current fee structure is insufficient to cover much of the cost. Although the new fees will not make the pamphlet totally self-supporting, less general fund will be needed to continue making the document available. The subcommittee amended the bill to create the voter's pamphlet operating account. Voter's pamphlet filing fees will go to the account, and the Secretary of State's budget will contain a biennial expenditure limitation from the account. Expenditures will be for the purpose of producing and distributing the voter's pamphlet. Limitation for 2003-05 will be $1,233,900. If expenditures exceed revenue, the Secretary may need to seek additional resources from the Emergency Board. The Subcommittee on Capital Construction Bonding recommends Senate Bill 139 be amended and reported out to pass as amended. Discussion. Senators.
Just checking. Once more, we're reducing the size of the voter's pamphlet piece that you buy and increasing the cost to purchase it?
Mm-hmm. That would be accurate.
Okay, because I think we just did this a year or two ago, the last time we had an opportunity, so that might have been 2 years ago.
I think we're from 30 to 15 square inches.
I don't mind reducing the size I have to fill up in the voter's pamphlet. That's not a problem.
We just did this.
It's the cost.
It'll make it feel better.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Winters.
I thought Senator Duke was going to wonder why if, you got the senator paying $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not equal in here in the amount that's being assessed.
That's true. The house is paying half of
it. That's a very good question, Senator. Must have something to do with the exalted position that some people think we have. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I would assume that not everything in life is fair. And since we represent, not voters, but people, we represent approximately 115,000 people in House members represent half of that. So.
Good point. Yes, Representative Hansen.
You're not getting any brownies.
We didn't do this. Also, because of the fact that there are twice as many House members as senators, the House members will be making an equal contribution to the overall cost of the pamphlet. Nice. So there is a fairness and an equity here.
We also do it twice as often as they do. Yes. We do it every 2 years. You may have forgotten that, Senator Devlin.
Very good arguments. You must have been on the policy committee, gentlemen, ladies. Further discussion.
Watching.
Seeing none, is there objections? Got two, Senator Gordley, Senator Dukes. Seeing no others, we'll pass Senate Bill 139A relating to elections out to the Senate. Do pass with the A6 amendment. Senate Bill 467A relating to economic development, Senator Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 467 creates the Economic Revitalization Team in the Office of the Governor. This team is a restructuring of the Community Development Office, which was previously located in the Department of Administrative Services. It is intended to coordinate among state agencies, local governments, and industries with the goal of regulatory efficiencies to enhance economic development. The bill also directs several state agencies to participate in identifying up to 25 prioritized industrial and traded sector sites that could be available for expedited development. Other workload is specified for particular agencies. The work involved in SB 467 for the Department of Land Conservation and Development and the Division of State Lands exceeds the resources in their proposed budgets. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee amended the A-engrossed bill to provide general fund and staff resources to DLCD in the amount of $960,285 and five positions, 4.17 FTEs, and to the Division of State Lands in the amount of $110,000, one position, and 0.83 FTE. Other participating agencies may have potential minimal fiscal impact. If an agency has unexpected expenditures for being part of the economic revitalization team that it cannot absorb, it may seek additional resources from the emergency board. The subcommittee also reviewed the funding for the economic revitalization team, which will be shown in the governor's office budget of $610,000 lottery funds, $360,000 other funds, and $428,068 general fund. I might note that in the discussions and what was originally anticipated to fund this activity from the net receipts of video lottery games, in listening to our friends in the county, it was taken under advisement, and the amendments were made, as you now see, to more accurately reflect our commitments to the counties for their work. So, Mr. Chairman, committee, your Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends that SB 467 be amended and reported out, due past as amended.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Morris. Questions? Objections? Senator Gordley? Seeing no others, we'll pass. Senator Patridge is an objection, or Representative Patridge is an objection. Seeing no others, we'll pass Senate Bill 467A out, due pass to the Senate with A13 amendments. House Bill 2532, relating to state financial administration.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2532 allows the Department of Revenue to keep the first $30 million of cigarette and tobacco tax collections in excess of the June 2003 revenue forecast and use it for departmental operations. It also disappropriates $25.2 million of general fund previously provided to the department. The department provided projections of additional cigarette and tobacco product taxes if it expected to be able to collect if additional resources were provided for the Tobacco Tax Compliance Task Force. It expects to collect an additional $30 million with an investment of $4.8 million, resulting in new net revenues of $25.2 million. To capture the increased collections for the benefit of the general fund, the first $30 million of cigarette and tobacco product tax collections above the revenue forecast will be exempt from statutory distributions to the health plan, tobacco use reduction account, and local governments. Expenditure limitation is provided to the department to use these funds, and we increase the amount of general fund available to pay for other programs by reducing the department's general fund appropriation by $25.2 million. Your Capital Construction Bonding Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2532 be amended and reported out due pass as amended. Not so fast.
Yes, I'm going to take the extraordinary opportunity in deference to the Department of Revenue and some concerns they raised at the 11th hour, and I'd like to move that the recommendation of Senator Harper be modified and move the dash five amendments to the bill. And I guess have staff come forward and explain what's going on here.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the dash five amendment, it differs slightly from the dash four in that the dash four amendment has some specific dollars that would be of cigarette tax receipts that would be deposited in the department's operating account, and specific dollars of other tobacco product tax receipts that would be deposited to the account. Instead of that language, the bill now provides still the total of $30,048,000 of the total of the two be deposited into the account, but that up to $10 million of tobacco use or tobacco products taxes could, as opposed to a $1.3 million, I think, could be deposited in there, and the balance of cigarette taxes. The reason for that is that the department, based on its current tobacco tax compliance efforts, it believes there's a greater potential for higher proportionate collections of tobacco products taxes compared to additional cigarette tax revenue. So that's the effect of this amendment. The total reduction to general fund is still the same. The total increase to the department's other funds limitation is still the same. And I'll be happy to entertain any questions.
I'll just do a quick paraphrase in case there's confusion. Basically, all the revenue plans we've talked about so far to get out of this fund session we've had now include a $25 million tobacco task force compliance group that's going to raise us more money. The idea is we did this at the end of special session six also, where if we give Department of Revenue $4 million, and they get us $30 million, and the goal here would be, well, okay, that's great, then let's use that money to fund the Department of Revenue. We can use that general fund elsewhere, quite frankly. And the idea being to make sure that, you know, that if they say they can get us the revenue, then they should be and have any problem being funded by that revenue that's assuredly going to be coming in. The department testified this morning or indicated to staff that there was some concern about some flexibility within the cigarette and other tobacco tax money, and they anticipate more money in the tobacco tax area than originally expected. We'll still be tracking that $30 million other funds to make sure that the group actually delivers, to the extent that not that there's anything wrong, but they're trying to do their job and make sure things work out. So that's the genesis of the bill, and that's the genesis of the amendment that you now have before you. Questions? Senator Dukes.
Where would this $30 million be going if it wasn't going to fund the Department of Revenue?
Staff.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, by law, it would be distributed to the, if it's cigarette tax money, it would be distributed to general fund, health plan, TURA, cities and counties, and ODOT for special transportation things. If it, for other tobacco products taxes, it would go to the general fund, to the health plan, and to TURA. Instead, now replacing the money with the Department of Revenue, we're exempting the collection of this $30 million from those distribution.
I caught that. And just can you give me an approximate breakdown to those entities? I'm just kind of curious what they're losing.
Yeah, the addition, it's all new revenue, and if the revenues are received of the $30 million, about $5 million to the general fund, a little over $5 million to the general fund, $22 million to the health plan, TURA would get about $600,000, cities and counties about $400,000 apiece, and ODOT about $400,000. I hope that adds up.
Senator, excuse me, Representative.
I'm sorry, the ODOT piece was what?
ODOT and the special districts for transportation, about $400,000.
$400,000, seniors. Thank you.
Representative Hansen might be able to shed some light on this discussion. We had a lively discussion with the committee on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly support the Dash 5 amendments. I support the general thrust of trying to do as good a job as we can on enforcement to generate more revenue. That's basic to us getting out of here. I did vote against this in subcommittee because of scrapping of the distribution formula. The net effect is if we lose $21 million to the health plan, which we're going to be backfilling with general funds, so that's a wash. TURA, we lose money, but we've already, I think, had countless discussions in terms of adjusting the amount of money that goes to TURA. Obviously, general fund will pick up some money here under either scenario. The three big losers are $450,000 to counties, $450,000 to cities, and $450,000 to special needs transportation. And it seems to me that we can take the step of collecting this additional money without taking the additional step of losing about $1.25 million to cities, counties, and special need transportation. And I think I wish we had taken more time to correct that. I understand it's part of the overall budget strategy, but I think we're being penny-wise and pound foolish to put to cost our partners that small of an amount when, in effect, we're recapturing almost $25 million. And I think we could be more thoughtful in terms of going ahead with this, with the concept here, but without abridging long-standing agreements with some of our partners.
And that's a good point. I think to further round out the discussion, it should also be noted that this is a biennial commitment only. The money would not be there except for the fact that we are funding the task force. If we don't fund the task force, there's no money that goes anywhere. So the discussion in the committee was such that, hey, for a one-time, two-year deal, I think if you look at Section 2 of your bill there, this this distribution is specific for the biennium beginning July 1st, 2003. And also point out that any money above the $30 million that comes in, the normal distribution formula kicks right back into gear. So I'll put on the record here, there's no intent to undermine the normal distribution of cigarette tobacco tax money to counties. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think another broad issue relative to this is, and the debate that's occurred in the subcommittee on public safety, is that you need to maintain all three components of this, the Department of Revenue, the Department of Justice component, the Department of State Police component, and making sure that this enforcement level is up to the level it needs to be, because without that enforcement level, there may be more questions about revenues to local entities in terms of tobacco revenue. There may be more attempts to evade the tax, and also looking long term, we have bonds that are issued that they are not tied specifically to this revenue, but if this revenue isn't at the level that it needs to be, we have to replace that with general fund revenue. So I think it was a general discussion to keep the enforcement activities as strong as they possibly could be.
Good comments. Further comments? Seeing none, objections to the amendment to the dashboards. Senator Gordley?
To the dash five?
Dash five.
Dash five.
The amendment, the dash five amendments to the dash four bill.
I don't mean to move the dash five by himself.
Well, that's already been moved. Okay. So is there objection to that? Senator Gordley was an objection. So noted. Okay, we'll move the dash fours then, or excuse me, the dash fives. I'm doing well here.
He'll have a minute.
Yeah, that'd be good. Mm-hmm. You want to do that, Harper?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Harper's still trying to gather his courage here. Good. Okay. So we have House Bill 2532 as amended with the dash five amendments. Moving to the floor, do pass recommendation. One objection.
Two objections.
I didn't see you. Excuse me.
I think we got three.
We have Representative Hansen. Sorry about that. Senator Gordley and Senator Dukes.
And keep going.
And Representative Butler. Very good. I apologize, ladies. Thank you. All right. Moving forward, House Bill 2551, relating to Water Resources Department, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2551 allows the Water Resources Department to enter into voluntary agreements, sometimes called receipt authority agreements, and establish fees to enable improvement of services. This allows individuals or organizations who need services from the department more quickly than the department resources now allow to enter into an agreement with the department to pay for the cost of providing faster service. The bill restricts the fee recovery to actual costs of the department described in the agreement, which may include additional temporary staff or contracts for services. After discussing the pros and cons of an alternate queue for those with resources, the selection process for projects and contractors eligible for the process, and lack of definition of the magnitude and costs of this pilot project, your committee added a sunset clause of January 2, 2006. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2551A be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Questions? Yes, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm not going to make the same scene that I made in committee when I voted against this. But I just would like to have...
I would like to.
That's fine. I appreciate your efforts.
My restraint. I would just like to note on the record that I think there's something kind of creepy about a blatant scheme to move people with means to the front of the line. And I would rather see us fund the department adequately to allow for a good level of customer service than to allow those people with wealth to be able to buy a better level of service. And I'd like to be recorded as a no.
Thank you very much. Yes, Representative Morgan.
With deference to Representative Johnson's restraint, I would like to have it put on the record that this does actually benefit all of the people that are waiting for service with the Water Resources Department. We're actually establishing two lines of service, one of which will be paid for entirely by the people that are in it, and which will make places available in the other queue for everyone else. So I think overall it will have the impact of increasing the level of service for all of the applicants that the department is dealing with.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Bates.
The question of the carrier is, do you have any idea what the fees will be, how much they will be?
If I might, Mr. Co-Chair, the department will enter into a rulemaking process on this, and they have apparently templates from other processes in other states and other processes within state agencies that exist here. And that was why we put the sunset on this, to kind of get a bead on how it was all going to end up working and see if it was worthwhile continuing.
It's like a rough idea what those fees are going to be, is all. But if you don't know, you don't know.
Further discussion? Is there objection?
Carter.
We've got Senator Carter, Representative Johnson, Representative Bates, and Representative Gordley. Senator Gordley. I apologize. All right, seeing no others, we'll put House Bill 2551 out to the House with the due pass recommendation. House Bill 2955, related to state finance, Senator Winters.
Thank you. House Bill 2955, as amended, allows the director of the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center to cooperate with nonprofit tax-exempt organizations for the solicitation of gifts, grants, and donations for the benefit of the Fair and Exposition Center. The bill allows the director to serve as an ex officio member of those organizations. The bill allows the director to accept donations of goods, services, and public improvements to the state fair. The bill is based on recommendations of an interim task force, which your member was the co-chair, on the state fair, and is intended to increase opportunities for business partnerships with the fair by allowing a charitable foundation to be the go-between while promoting collaboration between the state fair and the foundation in pursuing contributions. Your subcommittee on general government recommends House Bill 2955 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you very much. Discussion. Representative Johnson.
Thank you. We didn't discuss this in committee, but it's just a curiosity. In my experience with raising money, there are frequently named gift opportunities. Are there any sideboards contemplated by the state fair staff that you've discussed with them about a proliferation of named opportunities at the fair? For enough money, it could be the, you know, XYZ Veterinary Fair and Exposition Center or whoever the donor is?
And the director is not here, neither is the staff person here, but I believe that that those sideboards were discussed in previous time. Yes. Yes.
Further discussion? Senator Devlin.
Was the reference to veterinary sucking to the chair?
Oh, that's out of order. Moving right along. Further discussion. Is there objection? Senator Gordley? Seeing no others, we'll pass House Bill 2955 out to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. House Bill 3108B, relating to commercial fishing. Come on, guys, just hang in there. One more pill. Representative Krieger.
We're having too much fun.
Yeah, I can see that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3108 established a limited entry permit for commercial fishing of nearshore fish, including Sebastius melanopsis, Sebastius stimulus, and restricts the harvest of euphysids. This bill needs a correction in the restrictions of the harvest of euphysids, amends, clarifies the definition of euphysids, and conforms the prohibition of harvesting of euphysids to federal regulations. The Natural Resource Committee recommends House Bill 3108 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion. Objection.
I object.
Any other objection?
The basis of your objection.
Seeing none, we'll report House Bill 3108B out to the Senate for due pass B-10 amendments. Oh, excuse me, Senator Burl. I apologize, Mr. Seeing no other business, meeting adjourned. Good work, team.
2228.
Yes, that's right. It's not on here. Excuse me. I take that back. We're not adjourned. We were recessed for a brief moment in time. Now we're back. House Bill 2288. Thank you, Senator Morris. House Bill. You have that?
Mr. Chair, I don't know.
Mr. Chair, that didn't quite make it to the agenda today because of paperwork difficulties. So it'll be on tomorrow's.
That will be fine. We stand corrected one more time. Meeting adjourned.
We are meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're always on call.
Probably three
Can
times.
Can I assume that this is the last time you will need my presence for this day?
Yes.